Mid-mornings with Lee Chambers. Cambridge 105.
Hello, Rain.
Hi, Lee.
Nice of you to come in. And we're talking about Capability Brown.
Yep.
The most famous landscape gardener that ever lived, really.
Well, I think so, yeah. Certainly in this country and known all over Europe as well, yeah. So
he did a lot of work in this area, didn't he?
He did quite a bit around here, yes. He worked at Stanford and at Burley House. He worked at Wimpole. He did a little bit for the universities, but they couldn't make their minds up what they wanted. His vision didn't suit theirs, so I think he ended up working for St John's College in the end. And Madingley Hall, of course, was the other local one.
And what kind of time period are we talking here?
Well, he was born, actually, 300 years ago last year. And he worked his way down from Northumberland because he was born in Northumberland, son of a state manager. And he worked his way down, ended up near Boston, we assume working on drainage because he was very good at water and very good at working with water and fitting it into the landscape. There he met his wife, married, and his first big job was at Stowe. And there he lived for a while and helped shape Stowe Park.
And you say a vision. He did have a vision, didn't he?
He had lots of
vision. Very specific ideas about what he liked.
Yes, I think so. He was very good. And the way he worked, he would, especially when he got really busy and he was really good at his job, he would get on a horse and he would ride all over the country. He would spend a day and a half at somebody's estate. He would ride round it or walk round it, look at it, say this has capabilities, which is where the nickname came from, and proceed to draw a plan up or get a plan drawn up. He would often have somebody else draw the plan up for him. He would give a plan as to what he wanted to do, what trees he would like to import. He was moving big trees about, and of course water, and moving water about as well, and changing the courses of rivers and making lakes to look like rivers. Then he would leave, and he probably wouldn't go back for a year or 18 months, and at that time he would have a foreman there, and they would employ people. So he would go back and he would say, this is progressing fine, and take his money and off he'd go again. So he got a lot of vision and a hard-working man, very hard-working man.
And what's kind of typical, if you go somewhere, how would you know that that was called Capability Brown?
I'm not the best one to ask about that, but more often than not, if you go to a landscaped park and it looks fairly natural, it looks like our ideal of England, with water running through and trees and open meadows and what have you, then that would probably be a brown landscape. Before him, it was formal gardens, and as he came along, it was becoming more open landscapes, and he just embraced it and used it. Really.
So it's interesting, he did all that work to kind of take it back to what natural.
What he thought it should be, or what people thought it should be, yes.
And he would build ruins as well, wouldn't he?
he was quite an architect as well, and he would build ruins. As at Wimpole, he would ensure there was a ruin sitting there somewhere. So
and in his day, a very famous man.
Yeah, well known in his day, well known by nobility because they were the people he was working for and people of influence, they were the people he was working for. Don't forget, he ended up as gardener to the king, which was about the time when he bought Fenstanton, or the mannership of Fenstanton. So he actually had a house at Hampton Court and he was gardener for a couple of houses for the king, or overseer, shall we say, for the king. So he was well known in his lifetime. And it's very strange that he should have not ended up with a plaque somewhere in Westminster Abbey or something like that, and just a memorial in Fenstanton. It is
very strange, yes. Yeah. And you're here because you're raising money to create a bigger memorial for him.
No, we're here to renovate what we've got. If I can explain, really, he bought the mannership of Fenstanton for £13,000, which was a lot of money in those days. About the year or a year after he became gardener to the king, and he'd obviously got a lot of money. He was obviously making a lot of money at the time from all these gardens. Plus, he'd got this income coming from the king as well, which I think was about £2,000 or something like that a year. So he'd obviously got a bit of disposable income, and he decided that he would buy somewhere. We assume to retire to later. Or it may just have been his investment. So he bought the mannership of Fenstanton and Hilton with land in other villages as well. Lots of properties and land he owned in the villages. and therefore he was getting rents from the from these properties. So it was a good income coming in, so it was well worth the investment. Also, the guy he bought it from, which was, I can't remember, Lord Essex or somebody, he owed him a bit of money anyway. He was sitting for Parliament. I think he lost his seat, so he was a bit in debt. So he owed Brown some money, so that was taken off the final figure. So, yes, he ended up owning these parishes. There's no evidence that he actually visited. We assume he visited and saw them. He did pester this guy to sell it to him for a couple of years before he did. So he obviously was aware of Fenstanton, obviously passed it a few times, and he may have obviously called in and had a look round.
So did he actually ever live in Fenstanton?
There's no evidence, but we think he probably stayed, and he would have stayed at the manor house in the village, which is a smallish manor house by manor house standards. We believe that, that he had a plan drawn up, one of his plans drawn up that he would do for a normal estate. And the guy that drew it up took a couple of years to do it. But it's quite obvious, and it sits in Cambridge, one of the Cambridge University Library. And we have a copy. And it would seem from the plan that it's not quite the same as the land would have been. So he'd obviously made changes to it. So we believe that he was planning to probably move into another house that he owned, a big Georgian house that he owned slightly outside the village, which was at the time was a farm which he was renting out. And he would probably have moved in there and created parkland between there and the village with a nice vista over the village and the church if he managed to retire. Alas, he didn't get that far. He was a very busy man and didn't get that far, really.
But he's buried here.
Yeah, when he died at age of 67, he was dining in London with Lord Coventry.
And that was a good lifespan then, wasn't it?
It was pretty good for those years. But, I mean, both his sons didn't live that long, so it's quite long. Yeah, he was dining with Lord Coventry, who was one of his big benefactors at Croom Park. He did a lot of work for him. Collapsed on the way home. He was asthmatic, and he would be laid up through asthma and breathing problems. But he collapsed and died the next morning. So we don't know what happened, but he was packed off to Fenstanton because he owned the land. He arrived here on a Sunday and was buried on a Sunday. and the only record we have is that he was buried in Fenstanton churchyard, and we have the date, and that's it. There's no record of where he was buried or anything. The rest is people thinking about it afterwards and saying, well, it must have been here or it must have been there. He could have been buried in the church. We don't know.
So it was effectively an unmarked grave.
Yeah.
For one of the most famous men of his generation.
Yeah, exactly.
How extraordinary.
And where we believe he was buried was on the north side of the church in the churchyard. And on his eldest son, also Lance, at the end of that year, commissioned this memorial to be erected, commissioned an epitaph from a famous poet, and there's a lovely touching letter which is in Worcestershire County Archives that he wrote to Lord Coventry at Croom to say, this is the epitaph I'm thinking of putting on the tomb, do you approve? Would it suit? And the letter's quite touching because it indicates that he was a loving son and a proud son, and he was proud of his father. So it was quite nice, and so he had this memorial erected. So it sits on the chancel wall in the church, inside the church. We think on the inside where Brown was buried on the outside, but we don't know. We have no idea at all.
And this is what you're trying to
this
restore.
Is what we're trying
so
to work
it's
out.
Looking it's, a bit it, derelict.
Yeah, then. It's been there, as I say, since soon after Brown died. The Victorians did it up early in the 1800s, we believe, and it was also used. It's a bit of a mishmash. It was used for his eldest son, his wife, and his next son as well. So there's four of them commemorated on it. But it's become discoloured, but that's not a problem because it looks old. That's fine. But the big problem is when the Victorians worked on it, they put some iron rods in it to support it. It's like a table tomb. It's up against a wall, but like a fireplace, really. And these rods, the damp has crept in from through the wall, and the rods have rusted, and they've started to expand, and the whole thing is starting to come apart, as it were. So we thought, with the celebrations last year and all the people that visited the village, we would kick off a fund to and try and get some grants and get this memorial fixed.
Yeah, well, it should be something where we to are. Celebrate. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it's the last thing. We had celebrations. We erected a plaque last year outside the church to direct people as to where he was, and we've had a permanent exhibition in the church since the middle of last year. So that's that, and that's still there. So people want to come and have a look. But this was the last thing. We thought it would be nice to get the tomb at least stable. So that's where we're aiming at the moment.
Yes, well, and a fitting tribute for a man who did change the landscape of the country.
It is the only tomb. It's the only memorial. There is one other as an urn at Croom Park, sitting by one of his lakes, which Lord Coventry erected. But it doesn't say much, and it sort of doesn't mark where he was buried, really.
How much will it cost to? That's the crunch. Yes, the bottom line.
Yeah. If we can get away with it, 40,000, it may be 50, but we really don't know. It's very difficult. We have to apply for faculty from the diocese to get it done, and which we're in the process of doing. We're ongoing. We started it off. Last year we were raising funds. We set off this year to carry on raising funds. We decided that we thought we'd be able to get there eventually, so we are actually going ahead to do it. So it may happen at the end of this year, it may happen beginning of next, but the fundraising will go on until we get all the money for it.
So if people are interested in donating to this, where should they go? MyDonateBT.com?
That's the one, yeah.
And then /charities.
Yeah.
/Fenstanton. It's a bit of a mouthful, but you think if you put in...
I think if you put in... BT My Donate and go for Fenstanton Memorial Appeal or CB Memorial Appeal, you'll find it. That's the one. And anybody would be welcome. We have got some grants and we have been doing a lot of fundraising events. So people have been very generous. People last year coming to the village were very generous, and people are still being very generous. So we're hoping we'll get there eventually.
I think it's remarkable. I didn't know this at all. I mean, for a relatively small village in Cambridgeshire
we're very lucky, actually. I suppose we're lucky. It's a bit of responsibility as well, but we're lucky to have Brown buried there, and therefore we feel obligated to look after his memorial, really. That's the thing we're aiming for.
And you've learnt a lot about Capability, Brown.
I have over the last year. It's been very good. I met some rather lovely people, some really nice experts, have come to our village and talked to us and helped us. And we planted a tree a month ago. One of Brown's favourite trees was a Lebanese cedar. We managed to get hold of one from the Forestry Commission, and we planted it near the village. And the lady that planted it was an expert on not only on trees but on Brown as well. So that was rather lovely.
Well, good luck, Ray. Lovely to talk to you. That website address again, mydonatebt.com/charities/Fenstanton. Or if you search just Fenstanton CB Memorial.
That's right. And if anybody's in or around the village during our fundraising events, we've got a barn dance coming up in June, which is the 6th of June. If anybody wants tickets, they can get them from our local post office, or they can contact us through the email.
Or stay in touch. So when you do start restoring it, let us know. We'd love to come along and see that.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Ray.